Welcome to the IonaHoops.com podcast with your host, Guy Flotico.
It's season 4, episode 16 of the IonaHoops.com podcast, and well, I'm in a weird state. I was not at the Iona games this weekend. I caught up, I did get to watch the Rider game from 30,000 feet. I was traveling for work, so I was in California. I'm all thrown off from being in California. I mean, you would think 3 hours is not that big a deal, but it is. Especially when you're there for a few days. I'm a little out of sorts here, but I did on the flight, long flight back yesterday, I caught up on the Iona Fairfield game, and then also was able to watch live the Iona Rider game. And so, like I said, I'm out of sorts, people. Deal with me. So here we are. Apparently I missed another very boring weekend in the Mac. Obviously joking. What's going on? How are we feeling? There's some still Ledge life going on, even with two wins, because, oh my God, we can't hold the lead. You know what? It takes time to learn how to win. And the team's is winning these games. That's the thing. I mean, yes, you don't want to blow a 24-point lead. And we didn't. We didn't blow the lead. I mean, you have to realize the mentality change when you go up by that many points. You just shift a gear in your head, and then it's hard to flip it back on. And that's kind of what happened against Ryder yesterday. Now, is that an excuse? Well, actually, it is. I mean, this is psychological stuff, and this is where my realm is, people. I'm kind of a scientist. I don't know if you guys knew that. That's part of the way it is. When you go up by that much and everybody kind of, it's just kind of, all right, well, it's over now. Well, Ryder didn't think it was over, and credit to them, especially with James going out, Mervyn James going out with his fifth foul, that they just said, well, we're just going to keep coming, and we got lazy defensively and all of that. And so, anyway, it happens, people. But you know, I put a tweet on Twitter last night, and just about the progression of this team, and I think it matters. And a lot of people are liking that tweet so far. And that includes, the one and only Tim Clues. So I'm going to guess it has some merit. I basically just talked about the learning progression. November was learning basically each other's names and just how to play together. And that's kind of why November was so bumpy and uneven. And then December, all right, now we're really starting to work on our press and just become a better team all around. The press obviously did improve from November to December quite a bit. It was starting to become pretty effective. And so that's kind of how December in my mind went. We're just, working on that press. And then of course the element of welcoming Oz back into the lineup as well. And then you get to January and, you know, just learning how to score. Remember when we were all complaining about the offense all through November and December? Oh my gosh, we can't score. Oh, we're anemic. Oh, this is the worst offense I've ever seen in Iona's history and all this nonsense. Well, how do they look now, scoring like 90 points a game for like the last few games, because that's kind of what they're doing. From an offensive efficiency perspective, they're second in the MAC only to Fairfield, which has looked tremendous on offense, as we know. This is a team that's really, really cooking on that end of the floor right now. And then what I feel like February is going to be is we now are in a couple days into February. It's going to be learning how to close out these games. I posted that number and I've said that number that Iona was 0-6, I think, entering yesterday's game in games decided by 6 points or less. So that kind of shows, well, we're not winning close games. Well, to be fair, I mean, we won a couple games, I think by 7 or by 8 or whatever like that. And, even the Fairfield game, we won by 9, but it was a 3-point game late. We did, again, quote unquote, blow a lead, but we also closed the game out and won by 9. So, I mean, that did happen a little bit where you close the game out and you won by more than 6. So it's a little bit false, but at the same time, yesterday was the first time you won a game that was, by 6 points or less. So, It does matter. The way we got to only winning by one is not ideal. But like I said, it happens. The point is we didn't lose the game. And, my guest for this podcast later on is Sam Fetterman. And he actually said the same thing I was thinking. At no time watching that game yesterday did I feel like we were going to lose. even though Ryder kept coming, and you're doing the math in your head. Okay, now they're down two possessions with this much time left. Oh, this is not over yet. And I, you know, even with all of the heartbreak that Iona fans have felt with some dramatically horrible losses, enduring what we did against at Quinnipiac just a short weeks ago, I never felt like, oh, we're gonna lose this game. I just didn't feel that way. And it's so funny that Sam came on, and he's gonna say the same exact thing when you listen to him in a bit. It was not. I didn't feel the threat. I mean, obviously, it was a 1-point game. It's because they hit an NBA three at the buzzer. I mean, it was really a 4-point game. They made some ridiculously tough threes. You know, we made a lot of fouls, and you know, we certainly contributed to it. But they made some plays too, to their credit. That's a team that's had been playing really, really well. Which is, and, you know, and I thought the 7.5 or whatever that line was a joke anyway. I mean, I took Ryder yesterday. You know, you still win the game. You have to hold on. We're going to go there for the rematch. It'll be fun when we play them again. Our Iona Ryder games have been very close lately. We haven't had a one-sided game in the series in a good 4 or 5 years, I don't think, now. So it's become a nice, fun rivalry. And I knew that it was going to be a shootout because Ryder's offense has been greatly improved from early in the year. And I know ours have. I mean, if you told me before, you know, early in the day yesterday, I have to play some sort of bet on Iona Ryder, I would have bet the over. That's what I would have bet. Because that was a lock, an absolute lock. So let's talk a little bit more about the numbers. Like I said, like we said, Iona's offense has been really cooking. I mean, think about some of these outputs we've had in recent games. Let's look at the last six, you know, during this win of a streak of 5 of 6, 87 points. 70 against the Canisius team that slows you down, 87 in the loss to Quinny, 70 in Siena and a Siena team that slows you down, 91 against Fairfield, 94 against Ryder. So some really good offensive numbers there. And then you look on the defensive end again, some struggles in there. Nice numbers against Mount St. Mary's and Canisius. We were playing great defense until the last few minutes against Quinnipiac. Obviously, Siena wasn't going to do much offensively against us, although we did, you know, they looked a little bit better since we played them. But then giving up 82 to Fairfield and 93 to Ryder. So the defense isn't still quite there. And Tobin talked about that yesterday. I'm going to play a clip from him as well, just to let you hear what he had to say about the defense and some things that they're trying there. And it was something I noticed as well when he talked about it. But that's it. You know, they need to learn how to close games out now. They need to learn how to play a little bit better defense without fouling would be good. And then when Adon gets back in, you know, he's going to have, hopefully he's the Adon we saw against Quinnipiac or something close to that, because he obviously would make us even that much more dangerous on offense. So it's exciting right now. And, you know, they've got plenty of games to play still. We can talk about the MAC race real quick. I mean, is Quinnipiac as good as that record? I don't think so, but you got to give them credit. You know, they're 3 games up on everybody right now. So they get some credit for that. I do think they'll slide back a little bit as we progress into February. Maybe they've peaked a bit too early, you know, and we'll see if that evens out. I mean, they're 10-1 in the MAC right now. So if they close only 5-4, you know, that's 15-5. That'll be good enough for first place. Oh, without question. But I wouldn't be shocked to see them close only 5-4. And then everybody's going to say, they've only won 5 of 9 to finish. Maybe they're not so good. It just means they're vulnerable, just like everybody else. And I mean, again, if you're into the KenPom stuff and to all the other analytics, I mean, Quinnipiac is 173 right now. They just moved ahead of Iona at 175. If Iona hadn't blown that big lead, they'd still be out of Quinnipiac. And that tells you something. I mean, I know some people don't believe in these numbers, but do you really believe Quinnipiac's better than Iona? I think we saw them play. I don't think anybody really believed that. And yet they're, you look up and they're, you know, 3 games ahead of us, 3.5 games ahead of us in the standings. So they're doing something right. But we still get them at our place. They've got a lot of tough games to go. I think they'll come down to the pack. And then you have 7 teams that are all pretty even, more or less, between Fairfield, St. Peter's, Niagara, Iona, Marist, and Mount, and Ryder. You know, all between 7-4 and 5-6 right now. So 2 games separating them. And that's going to be fun. And that's where all the jousting is. Thankfully, Iona's trending in the right direction. despite yesterday, so is Ryder. St. Peter's is trending south, but they've had injuries. I'm curious to see what happens when Corey Washington comes back. I think Fairfield and Niagara will probably stay within the top five. So if I had to guess, I think Ryder will move up. St. Peter's will end up moving down, assuming St. Peter's doesn't get Washington back anytime soon. And if they do, it'll be interesting to see who gets left out of the top five when all is said and done. So anyway, it was a fun stretch here. Now Iona hits the road. Niagara and Canisius coming up. Canisius has really struggled. They just had all kinds of press releases yesterday with all their injuries. I mean, feel bad for Spoon. I mean, he's not the greatest coach in the world, but he was certainly unlucky this year. And they are looking pretty bad right now. They're in that third tier with Manhattan and Siena right now, unfortunately for them. So that's a game we should win, without question. The Niagara game is interesting in that Niagara has been really, really good on the road in MAC play and not so much at home. So Iona kind of gave that one to Niagara, as we know. And that was the first instance of everybody saying, oh my gosh, we can't win. We can't close out teams. And so that Niagara, then Quinnipiac, and then Fairfield, then Ryder trend that somebody pointed out of all these, times of us blowing leads. Hey, you know what? We didn't lose Fairfield. We didn't lose Ryder. These are games probably would have lost a month ago. I hate to say it, you know? So that's what you have to look at this. So we got that's a big one against Niagara. That's a seed position kind of, that's a top five securing kind of game. If we can get that win back from the one we gave them at home, and it would be a great step for us to take that, this weekend, Thursday, actually, it's not even this weekend, at Niagara. So we'll see how all that goes. A big weekend coming up and then back home the following weekend. So we shall see. But it's been a heck of a run here. 5 of 6 for the Gales. Greg Gordon, happy birthday. And what did you celebrate in style these past couple of days? I'm hoping today is Monday the 5th. I'm hoping a little later today we'll hear that you were named the MAC Player of the Week. And Jeremiah Quigley is really, proving himself to be one of the top freshmen in this league as well. So, this is exciting, people. And I've been telling you all along, it's a process. Tobin's been telling you all along, it's a process. I'm not just locking in and saying I'm being a blind follower here. It's not about that. I still have some concerns on the defensive end. Tobin, I'm sure, does too. We do have to learn how to close teams out. But, if we can start defending a little better, we start to close teams out, we're all going to be believing by March. And then I get to tell you, I told you so. So we'll see about all of that. But anyway, I'm going to give you a quick snippet from Tobin yesterday's press conference. Thank you to the one and only guru, Jaden Daly, for sending me the audio from that presser yesterday. So I will give you that clip here. And then we're going to kick it off and go right into the one and only Sam Fetterman, who we did not get to speak with before the season. But now will you catch up with him to get his thoughts on the Wild and Woolly MAC. So enjoy Tobin and then Sam.
All right, so yeah, good. Good win for us. Obviously, the last 4 minutes was crazy, but I thought we played great. I thought for the first like 12 minutes of the second half, we played really, really well, as well as we played all year long. I don't want a stat sheet, but I got 25 assists on 29 made baskets, 3 turnovers. Like we're sharing the ball. We're playing unselfish. We're making the extra pass. We're doing the right things there. I thought defensively we were not very good. The first half, we kind of, we would get up, we let them come back. And then the second half of that 12-minute stretch was really good defensively. So, but like I said, I told the team, like, you have to be a factor in this conference, you have to win at home. So we kind of did what we had to do. But Ryder's very talented, very good. They're playing well. We knew they're playing well. They won 3 in a row coming in here, so that would be a tough game. So I thought we did some good things, and good to get a win, and we move on.
Tobin, you talked about that run coming out of halftime to start the second half. And as Ryder made the rally, how valuable were those opening 10 minutes to just preserve what you had?
Yeah, I mean, it was to get up by whatever, 22 or 24 points. It just, the frustrating part to me is like you've earned the, listen, I mean, I don't like how last 8 minutes was played. Did we make some mistakes? Yes. I don't think we made that many mistakes. I guess we fouled a lot. But like, it wasn't like we got shots. We only had three. It was like we turned the ball over a lot. We missed a couple free throws here and there. We missed a couple shots. But like, you know, yeah, obviously build a lead gives you a cushion down the stretch. But I mean, they shot 25 free throws the second half. I mean, we're going zone, not trying not to foul. We're going all that stuff, trying not to foul. And we just kept on fouling. So obviously you can't foul defensively. So yeah, I mean, guess have that. But I thought we played well to get the lead.
On the other side of that, though, what do you need to do to close out games more efficiently?
I mean, not foul. I mean, from this game, you know, it's not foul. I think we got a little bit greedy, maybe. Offensively, we were getting a lot of stuff, and we got to be a little more patient, maybe take a little bit deeper in the shot clock. You know, our zone we're trying to play was good. Actually, we played a lot at FDU last year down the stretch. Was good for us there. It's not been very good for us so far. It's got to get better. We're going to keep playing it. But the zone should, in a game like that, when you get up by 20 points or 15 points, you should be able to make them take longer possessions, make them take more time. But our zone right now is not very good, so we're going to have to work on that. So, we're very much still a work in progress. But to not have Edon all weekend and to play like we played is a good sign going forward. We're definitely getting better. That's what you asked for. And, you know, we're excited about moving forward.
Well, we are just past the midway point of the MAC season, and one person we did not get a chance to get on during the preseason preview season of our podcast was Sam Fetterman. He's too busy, writing huge previews of his own and in the midst of his freshman year of college and doing a bunch of other stuff. So got finally getting a chance to catch up with him now. Sam, how have you been? How's it going? How's life so far?
Life's good. I mean, whenever there's basketball on, life is good. That's kind of the motto.
Yeah. And you know, what's amazing. I appreciate the effort you've put in terms of like, you're very diverse in terms of, it's not just like a Northeast thing or anything. I mean, you're putting in an effort to follow a national landscape, and yet there's still a passion for you for this MAC conference. Why?
I mean, it's really just like local for me. It feels personal, honestly. Just all of these leagues are like all of these teams in the MAC. Like I can, from my house back home, I could just drive there and go to games. So I would strike up relationships with the coaches and with the schools and with the people that cover the conference, and having a niche inside of one league kind of makes you stand out compared to just if you try and watch everything.
No question. And what of course has also made this interesting for you, I'm sure, is that the complete and utter unpredictable nature of this league. And what better game to just kind of summarize that than what happened in Iona and Ryder today? Gales, I'm sure everybody listening is well aware, Iona almost blew a 24-point second half lead. Let's talk about Iona's resurgence, if you will. Certainly, you know, winning 5 of 6, starting to move up in standings, kind of to where they were kind of expected to be. Offense is really on firing all cylinders right now, but I see an issue on the defensive end. What are you seeing when you see these Gales?
I mean, I think Greg Gordon has made it known that this is his team. He's starting to emerge into one of the top players in this conference. It kind of took him a while to really get going. And now, I mean, especially this weekend with 35 and 28, it's his team. And that kind of establishes something that Iona just didn't really have a go-to guy at times. It was just like, oh, maybe someone will make the shot. And now Greg Gordon is becoming the guy that is going to step up and get to the basket or make the shot, get to the line, do whatever it is that he needs to do. And I think that's so important because that there's a piece you can trust there. And I just, so impressive what he's been able to figure out really in terms of establishing himself, because they didn't really have an identity for the first half of the season. I think that with Gordon figuring it out, with Iona being able to get more looks for Weza Ponzo. I mean, he took 12 threes today, 6 on Friday, 8, 7, 11. Like, this is what you brought him in for, and he's starting to really maybe feels like establish that, even if he's not making all of them at times. Sometimes he isn't, sometimes he is. I think that Iona is starting to figure out who they are, and that Jeremiah Quigley might be their best guard. And
yeah.
The fact that Jeremiah Quigley being their best guard is not a problem. I mean, he's amazing. He's one of the best freshmen in the conference in terms of just, he's so comfortable with the ball in his hands. I think he's super impressive for a guy that's 5'11". I don't know if he's even 5'11".
Yeah.
Super impressive for a guy at that size in between the rim and the foul line. His mid-post game in terms of just pull-ups for some little fall-away jumpers or fade-away jumpers or his floaters, they're really impressive in that small space, and he's really good at commanding space for a guy at that size. And the fact of the matter, you'll mention Iona's really struggling defensively right now, and yeah, they almost blew that lead today to Ryder, but it never really felt like Iona was going to lose that game, if I'm being honest with you. And this is what FDU struggled last year. Tobin's FDU team was 8th of 9 in the NEC in defensive efficiency. They were 349th in the country in defensive efficiency, but they could really score. And that's what Iona's starting to figure out, that they can really score. And they have enough offensive talent to just outscore you in this conference. And sure, they can have some tough games on the defensive end, but they're going to press you so much to the point where they're just going to try and win as many extra possessions as they can. And when you're one of the top teams in the country at forcing and protecting the ball, forcing turnovers and protecting the ball, you're going to end up with more possessions. You're going to end up with more shots. As long as they're a little more physical on the glass, which I think they need to be better at. They're last in the conference right now in defensive rebounding rate. They need to be better at that. But yeah, as long as they figure that out, they'll be taking more shots, having more possessions than anyone else in the conference. And that's the key.
You know, it's funny. You've heard us talk about that hashtag ledge life. That's a very common phrase on the Iona board. And certainly you've seen it made its rounds on Twitter as well. And I've always kind of stayed the course and just saying, you've got to believe in Tobin. They're building something. You know, I feel like they spent all of November just trying to figure each other out a bit. They spent December figuring out how to press, and in January they figured out how to score. Now they have to figure out how to, like, actually, you know, now that they've learned how to deliver one of your favorite terms, that kill shot. Now they have to learn how to actually step on somebody's throats. Are they going to get to that point, or do you feel like this is who they really are? They could be one and done in AC, or they can win the whole thing.
I'm not sure, if I'm being honest with you. I think that there's room for that. They can, I mean, they stomped on, I think they stepped on Mount St. Mary's throats when I was there. They stepped on Colgate's throat when I was there. They put the kind of, when they were on the road at Fairfield, they kind of stepped on Fairfield's throat in that game. But there's also been games where, just, I mean, like today against Ryder, where they kind of let Ryder back into it. But against Fairfield on Friday, it was a really impressive first bit of the second half. And yeah, they struggled a little bit late, but I don't think I think Iona was pretty safely going to win that game for most of that last stretch. And I think that for now, they're 1-5-6. They're 6-4 in the league. And that's a really good spot to be in. I think every team in this conference could go out in the first round in Atlantic City, and every team in this conference can, maybe every team, almost every team in this conference can go on a deep run in Atlantic City as well. That's just what Atlantic City is going to bring this year. I'm so excited to be there. And
yeah,
the fact of the matter is that Iona establishing their identity on the offensive end is the most important thing right now, and they've been able to do that. Now, they got to get back to playing better defense. They do. But I don't think that it's as problematic, maybe, because right now it's a little bit of a nitpick, because they're 90 points in back-to-back games. They scored 87 against Quinnipiac, and Yeah, that they should have been able to win that game. They should have, and blowing that's tough, but it's on the road against a team that's now 10-1 in the league. And that kind of shows the fact that at the end of the day, every concern that you have about any team in the MAC, it's a concern for every team in the MAC, because on a given day, anything can happen. Everybody can struggle. And this league, in terms of the fact that there's still pretty much no separation between most of the teams, you just got to keep stacking wins. That's what matters. Get to Atlantic City, get in a good position, and take it from there. If you're struggling on defense, just figure it out and score. And if you're struggling on offense, just lock down on defense. Focus on one thing for now, and then we still got a month until Atlantic City. You can figure out the other thing there over that month.
Well, you brought up Quinnipiac, and I'd like to ask you what you really think of them. I mean, I keep looking at this KenPom, and they finally just got by Iona, and now actually are at 173. Iona's at 175, and it took Iona's collapse. If Iona had beaten Ryder by 24, they'd be in the 160s somewhere probably. Is Quinnipiac as good as their record, or are you just the 10-1 part? Forget 18-4. Are they really three games better than everybody in the MAC?
No, nobody's three games better than everyone else in the MAC. And that's not to say Quinnipiac's not good. They're really good. I mean, they went on the road to Marist and won by double digits when Marist was playing good basketball. They won at Niagara back in December. They won at Fairfield when Fairfield was playing really well. And then they backed that up by going to Manhattan and winning a tough game and coming back and hosting Canisius and killing them.
Yep.
They do know how to stomp on someone's throat, I think. They've been able to figure that out. They're winning a lot of games right now, but there's still a month until the tournament for teams to poke holes in them.
Do you think they peaked early?
I'm not saying that they're peaking too early. Okay. I'm just saying that there's a chance that, I mean, look, you're going to Ryder won a lot of games in a row around this time last year. They lost their first game in Atlantic City. They could have won that whole thing. They really could have, but they lost their first game in Atlantic City. There's a chance that that happens for Quinnipiac. They could also go and win the whole thing. I mean, they're going to lose to someone going forward. They still have to play St. Peter's twice. They'll play you really tough. They still have to play Marist. They still have to play Iona on the road. They still have to go to Ryder, who's kind of playing a lot better now. Still have to play Fairfield. They still have to play Niagara. Like, there's no gimmies. I mean, Siena is not good, but they're not a gimme. They played really tough today coming back against Mount St. Mary's, and they played really tough at Marist. Siena has games where they play really tough, and they do have a lot of those mail-it-in games, but there's nobody in this league that's a gimme. Manhattan has kind of really been fighting recently. Canisius fights at times. I think that they're going to get picked off at some point. There's a good chance they enter the MAC tournament as the number one seed just based off the fact that they're 10-1.
Yeah.
But they're not going to enter the MAC tournament 19-1. And they're three games ahead. They're the favorites right now. They're not the overwhelming favorites. I don't think there's such thing as overwhelming favorites in a post-Pitino MAC.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a seven-team grouping of teams between 7-4 and 5-6. Out of those seven, who are the contenders and who are the pretenders?
I think Iona is probably a contender just in terms of the fact that they're so talented. They're very well coached and they're starting to figure it out. I think Fairfield, in terms of the fact they're just so talented offensively with their guards, those guards can really carry them in a couple games in Atlantic City, and they're probably a contender. If Corey Washington is out, I don't see St. Peter's as a contender. They lost two games this weekend, overtime against Niagara, and Niagara's really good on the road, but yeah. And then they go and lose to Marist. I just think that St. Peter's doesn't score enough if Washington isn't playing. They don't have enough offense that they can generate without Washington if he's not there. And I just wouldn't trust them in a tournament setting. In that case, because look, they're awesome defensively, but they are not, they're just straight up not good enough offensively if Washington isn't there to win three games in Atlantic City. Niagara is confusing. They win all the time on the road. They're undefeated on the road in conference play.
Yeah.
They hit a lot of shots. They don't take a ton of threes, but they make a lot of the threes that they do take. And I'm not too sure if I think they're a contender or if I think they're a pretender. I mean, I love the duo with Bayless and Henderson. They kind of like a thunder and lightning type deal, and they play together a lot as well. And I think Bumbleo, Cool Hand Luke Bumbleo, is a really stable guy who's just been shooting. He's shooting the lights out in conference play, and he's a stabilizer for them. And their front court has its moments a lot. I think Obioha has been so much better this year than last, and especially in terms of staying out of foul trouble. I mean, he's played 69% of the minutes in conference play this year, and he's been playing them well. So that's so important for them, just getting a guy that can play consistent minutes at the five with Obioha there. And Mount St. Mary's is right now 5-6. They've won two in a row. They're 5-6, so like nobody's really calling them a contender. I wouldn't call them a contender, but 5-6 is about how good they are. They'll probably finish right around 500, and that's fine. There's nothing really wrong with that.
Right.
And Ryder, I think, is playing a lot better recently. They are starting to figure things out. Their bench was really good today. Mervyn James had to come out of the game, and DJ Dudley gave them 28. Anthony McCall gave them some solid minutes off the bench as well. 19 assists today. They're really strong on the glass as well. They are the number two offensive rebounding team in the conference. They hit their shots too in conference play, because Weeks is starting to figure things out. They're starting to be able to get into driving lanes and find shooters when they need to. Ryder is starting to figure things out, and I think they could be dangerous down the stretch of the season. Marist, I am not sold on, but I'm not out on Marist. I'm just not sold on them. I need to see just a little bit more from what they do. They're great win today against St. Peter's. They really pulled away in that second half. I thought that was a really good second half for them. Pascarelli was great with 7 assists. That's a new element if he can continue to do that type of stuff. But I just think that a Marist run in Atlantic City, they would need more out of Brickner than what they've gotten.
Mm. All right. Well, you talked about the MAC tourney. It's about a month out. So maybe we'll catch up to you again in about a month, and we'll see where everybody's kind of laying there at that point. And then we can really take some, just throw everybody in the hat and just take another draw and see who's going to advance this year. Cause that's what the MAC tournament is going to be anyway.
I think that's probably what we're going to end up doing. I'll see you obviously on, I don't know when you're going to get to Atlantic City, but I'll be there Tuesday morning for the first women's game.
Same.
I mean, I think I know who's going to win the women's tournament. I'll tell you that.
I think, yeah, that one's pretty safe. I think we're pretty sure on that.
I mean, we might be looking at a historic season on the women's side. Fairfield is really darn good. I haven't watched enough of them. I need to get them on. I need to get them on my TV at some point. They're really good. I think I know who's going to win the women's bracket. I have no idea who's going to win the men's bracket. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure it won't be Siena Manhattan or Canisius.
Yeah.
It probably won't be Canisius now going to be without Taj Tabeski, Xavier Long, and Joe Jones for the rest of the season, which was an announcement that I was expecting. It just kind of hits hard because, I mean, now Joe Jones probably looking at his third medical red shirt.
Yeah.
That sucks. I mean, he was a really good, he was a big time high school guy, I think, in Buffalo, and comes home and first half of the first game of the season against Syracuse, he goes down and you don't see him again for the rest of the year. And Xavier Long misses the whole year. Stavesky misses all but two games. And man, who knows how different their season looks if they have those guys, because you get another big to kind of give Mitchell a little bit of more space to breathe. He's been incredible as a rebounder, Mitchell has, and he's scoring pretty well. He's been just a rock in terms of consistency. If they didn't need to have quite as many minutes from him and could have just gone a little bit, maybe he's even better. And the fact that Gadsden missed today's game, and the pressure that's been put on guys like Eichendahl and Dinkins, that comes off if you have Taj Tavesky in there. And Xavier Long was a preseason All-MAC selection. It's just such a shame that you don't get to see these guys play out the season, because I thought Canisius was going to be really good.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely want to get your take on what's going on up at Siena as well before we let you go.
Yeah, so Carm misjudged a lot of things this offseason. I think that's what happened. He kind and I think I said this the other I said this a couple weeks ago that like I felt Mick Cronin kind of did the same thing in terms of like just thinking he thought he could win or do or he thought he could have a little bit of success with in an unconventional way. I mean, Siena is a team full of underclassmen. They only have one junior on the roster, and that's Sean DeRogordon. And he wasn't eligible for the first half of the season. And obviously, UCLA brought in a ton of international kids, and they're actually playing a lot better recently, UCLA is. But they both misjudged it. They're both great coaches. Carm has had a lot of success at Siena in terms of winning basketball games and having successful MAC seasons. In his first couple of years, he's won, what, two league titles? That's pretty good. The fact that he's not Fran McCaffrey kind of seems to bug some Siena fans, but there's a reason Fran McCaffrey has been a Big Ten coach for 15 years now.
Yeah.
Those guys don't grow on trees in the MAC. And a guy like Carm, an alum who cares about the program, has shown the ability to develop talent. I think that a lot of us, I think that I knew that it would be a little bit tough of a season. I don't think anyone thought it would be this bad, including Carm, but he knows what he needs to do. He needs to go out there and find some guys in the transfer portal, find some younger kids. He needs to build a roster. He needs to build a better roster this time around. And the fact that he failed this year doesn't mean he's going to fail next year. It doesn't mean he's a bad coach. Because, look, I think that if they were gonna can him mid-season, like some people on Twitter are suggesting, they would have done it already. Because they've hit so many, quote-unquote, new lows, it feels like.
Yeah.
Especially you look at that Iona game. If they were going to can him, they would have canned him after last weekend. Probably. And the fact that he's still there shows that, and also it's a bigger buyout than a lot of MAC schools, because it's a good program, Siena is, and they pay their coaches. So Siena is not, I don't think Siena is going to regret keeping Carm if Carm regrets the way that he handled this past offseason. Siena won't regret keeping him around, because he's a good enough coach. He's a smart enough guy to understand how to fix it. Maybe not how to turn them into MAC title contenders immediately, but he's good enough at what he does to find a way to make next year better. Because this year's a lost cause. They're 3-19.
Yeah,
they would be favored by, of course, they are like 1 point higher on KenPom than an 0-24 Detroit Mercy team. And Mike Davis is probably in his last legs of coaching college basketball. But for Carm, for Siena, if this happens again next year, if he has another offseason where he misreads the market and doesn't really bring in the talent that he needs and they struggle really badly again next year, then we can have this type of conversation. Yeah. But firing him now won't accomplish anything, because they would still have to get out of this situation, and you're probably not finding somebody immediately that's a tangible upgrade, because nobody's gonna win with this roster, and it's his fault for putting this roster together.
Yeah,
it's the roster that doesn't fit with itself, There's not enough depth. They're playing a lot of walk-ons. It's not good. But and he deserves a ton of blame for that. But it's also the first time that he's really put together a bad roster. And he's going to learn from it, and hopefully he's going to learn from it and put together a better roster next year, because that's what you can do in college basketball now. You can put together new rosters every year.
Yes, and we've learned that from our own experience here with Tobin Anderson. So, Sam, thank you very much for taking some time on a Sunday night to join me here and talk Mac Hoops. We always, you know, we always love to have you on, and everybody listening, keep an ear out for the next Twitter Spaces. I'm sure we're due for one of those pretty soon, where we have our little cast of characters there with some pretty cool guests usually. So, Sam, again, thanks for coming on, and we will catch up with you again probably about a month from now.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Atlantic City. I'll see you there.
Sounds good. Thank you much. Thanks again to Sam Fetterman for joining us on the pod, and for Jaden Daly for dropping us some audio while I was flying high. And no, I wasn't that drunk, despite mentioning that I had like a 6 espresso martinis while away on my trip. Anyway, good times in Gale Nation coming, people. Hang on for the ride. Go Gales.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the IonaHoops.com podcast. This podcast is a production of IonaHoops.com with publisher Guy Filotico. The opinions shared during this podcast are those of Guy Filotico, IonaHoops.com, and any featured guests. This podcast is not affiliated with Iona University Athletics or the university itself. Thank you for supporting IonaHoops.com.